We are live, pal. Andrew Zarian and I are back. Andrew, I missed you this weekend. I feel like corporate F4W should have flew you out to San Jose.
I would have. I told Tony, I said, you know, get that Learjet going.
Yeah, man.
Get it ready for me. I'll go. I know you guys had a great time at Big Dave's birthday bash.
Birthday party. Then we had, I don't know how much of this Brian put on Twitter, because he's doing the super followers gimmick, and he's like, he's putting like specific content for people who super follow him. And because I watched him like take random photos, and I was like, he's not putting that on regular Twitter. Like, where's all this going? And then I realized it with the super follows. But we went to steak like in the afternoon, like for lunchtime. And they picked like a really expensive steakhouse. I was like, wow, I haven't had an expensive steak at 1:30 in the afternoon before, probably in my entire life. But there
Tell me you had a martini at 1:30 afternoon at a steakhouse.
Obviously, non-drinkers, you know, they're so I would have had a bourbon or something. I would have had something, but you know, Tony the Leader, Brian Alvarez, Jeremy Finestone, all pretty much non-drinkers. So I was the only one, and I wasn't going to. I could have at least had like a glass of white wine or something. But nope. If you see, that's why. If you were there, we would have done that. We would have done some day drinking. But I don't know. I don't know who listened to Wrestling Observer Radio yet or saw the video on the brand new. I guess it's not brand new, but the channel's not brand new, but doing Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer is brand new.
Yeah.
You realize that, you know, that office doesn't look like what it looked like here in my background. It's nicely cleaned up. We've set it up for video. So I think Dave is going to do all of his Wrestling Observer Radios on video. So the live stream is, if you go to the F4W YouTube channel, you could, I think it's the top tier. You get live streaming of Wrestling Observer Radio. I think the one that I do too on Fridays, I still have to figure it out, and it's going to be shot a little differently because I use StreamYard. So tons of Video Dave. That might be his new nickname, Video Dave. We're going to turn him into a YouTube star. There's going to be
a history of Dave Meltzer's studio, and I think unanimously in like 15 years, people are going to vote that the paper studio, the New York Times studio, was the quintessential Dave Meltzer studio. I think we're going to have to go back there in a couple of years and just throw paper on the ground because people are going to be so upset at this. It looks great. The setup looks great. Tony sent me a couple photos. I mean, it looks fantastic. I'm excited for people to see. I was watching it this morning. I'm like, Dave looks great. And you know what? I have to tell you, it sounded different too. You know, when you could see the person, you're a little bit more. I mean, I don't know if they recorded earlier. That part I don't know, because I know they record at odd hours, but it sounded great and it looked great.
They're trying to go much earlier these days. No more like 3 o'clock in the morning where both of them are half asleep. But also, and this is a dynamic that somebody in my Facebook group for the Fight Game Media. He is a big fan of F4W, of everybody's stuff, but he specifically said watching it or even listening to the audio podcast, he could tell that just the interaction and Brian and Dave being able to see each other, he thought it amped up the energy. So sort of like what you just said. And, you know, that when you can see somebody, you know, that I think that makes a big difference. Like, you know, absolutely. You and I.
And also, you know, Garrett, but here's the cool thing, right? The voyeuristic aspect of this is a big selling point. Like I always say, like the cameras are on me, but I'm not looking at you. I'm not talking to you. I'm not doing a show like this because I'm just looking at a camera. I like the whole, like, you're looking at me. This is like you're spying on me. You get to see me in action rather than, you know, this is a show and I'm talking to you this way.
Right.
But I agree with you. I thought the energy was great. I think, Tony did a great job. You guys all did a great job over there. Listen, new era for the Wrestling Observer Radio show. You know, 20 some odd years later, now it's a video show.
The way that Tony Leader put the camera, the whole unit, the way that he put that whole thing together, the guy could pretty much sell these units like to people. Like, hey, do you want a video unit for your podcast? The way that he put it together was so creative and so just ingenuity. It was amazing the way that guy's brain works.
He's brilliant.
Shout out to Tony.
Big time. Big time. I know he's exhausted. He just messaged me that he's tired. People don't know. Tony and I talk all the time.
Yeah, of course. I talk to him more than I talk to Dave and Brian, for sure.
Yeah, me too.
I guess the other thing from that weekend that was a lot of fun was the birthday dinner, and we were at the sushi spot, and the entire weekend was so much fun. But you know, whenever Brian and Tony come out this way, it's a lot of fun, because you know, we get to talk to each other through podcast or through text, but when we get to see each other, it's a lot of fun. And so you know, Brian and Dave watching Rampage, and Dave watching UFC, and then them doing... I bailed out by the time NXT was on. I couldn't...
I heard Dave gets really excited and starts doing moves on everybody. He's like, come here, let me put you... Like, he puts people in headlocks and noogies on. It's a different Dave when you watch wrestling with him.
What did you think of the picture that I tweeted? Because everyone was just mesmerized, as if like he was like Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner in that
His
photo.
Arms are ridiculous. He said, with Brian, he said that it's an optical illusion. It's like photo magic. No, I've seen this man in person.
Well, okay.
It's unbelievably impressive.
He was not flexing. I can tell you that.
He doesn't need to.
He knows how to stand to where his posture looks good, and... You know, he understands how to pose for a photograph. He knows what he's doing. Okay, so before we get into the meat of this show, and really, I didn't even really... Usually, I have a rundown, and I'm texting you, going like, hey, here's what we're going to talk about. I don't know, I just felt like, let's just roll with it today, because there's not a whole lot of stuff that, you know, as far as topics are concerned, except for one thing, and we'll talk about that in a second, which is the CM Punk buyout story. But I know that you've talked about it on Wrestling Observer Live already, so we won't go super deep into it. But
I don't think I spent a lot of time on the buyout, so
we'll talk about it. But before that, I need to get your thoughts on this NordVPN thing again, because I asked around, because I was like, I've used a VPN for work before. But I never used
it. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But I've never used it in the way that people use it for content. And so I was asking folks, and you know, one of the ways that people use the VPN, and there you see nordvpn.com/F4W. You see that on the screen. But for the podcast listeners, that is the link, nordvpn.com/F4W. I didn't realize so many people use a VPN so that they can get the AEW Dynamite on Fight TV, because that is non-commercial, so they don't you don't have the ads. And if you don't have cable, like, maybe that's the way you watch a show. You pay the $5 a show and you watch it through Fight TV, and you're using the VPN. I was fascinated by what people use this stuff for. And then, of course, you mentioned last week that you are a big user of this product. What, like, was there one specific thing that you were like, oh, I can go watch this now because I have this VPN? Like, was there a thing that you specifically wanted to use it for, that sort of like how people watch Dynamite?
I'm gonna you know what's so funny, you brought that, like, this is not part of the read or anything, right? Somebody else asked me that, because I said the same exact thing on Observer when I was talking about this, on my show, on Mattman, when we were talking about this.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, what content? And I was trying to think back how far back I've subscribed to this. And I'm wondering, I'm just throwing it out. I'm not even 100% confident, but I feel like it was when The Office came off of Netflix in the US, but it was still in international use.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if it was The Office or it was something. It was just like a standard show that my wife and I loved, and I by mistake had the VPN on and I didn't realize it. I'm like, oh man, look at what's on here. And then I look and I'm like, what are all these shows that I've never seen in the suggested? And I realized my VPN was on, which there I was like, okay, this is really cool that you have access to this kind of stuff if you have a VPN. Also, I tend to use it daily because I have meetings in different offices. I have meetings in different types of places. Sometimes I'm in a coffee house having a meeting. Sometimes I'm at a bar. I don't like to connect directly, because essentially you're telling these people your social security number. That's essentially right. what you're doing, because every number, your IP address identifies who you are, what kind of hardware you have, what kind of computer. I mean, essentially, you could find out a lot about somebody. So I don't like that. I don't want some sort of layer of protection, especially if I'm, you know, going out and about and I'm not in the location I'm in normally. So I use it generally day to day for that. But for content consumption, it's a great tool. It's amazing. So you don't, you know, and this isn't like you're taking content from one provider and, you know, you're paying for the service.
Right.
You know, whether it's one of the streaming providers, whatever it is, you're paying for that service. Might as well get the most that you can.
Sure.
And this is why I absolutely love it.
All right. So grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/F4W to get a huge discount off your plan, plus 4 months free. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. All right, let's talk about some wrestling, as my dad would say. Let's talk about the CM Punk thing. Dave, yeah. On Friday morning, The Observer comes out. And, you know, Friday morning is really like aggregation morning for a lot of websites like that. Like, all, like I wake up before I've even read The Observer. There's like five stories that are out based on The Observer. And, you know, some of the other really good websites that have good reporting, like Fightful, that they have that happens on their website, too. But, man, I just saw this story everywhere. Like, I jumped on Twitter and like one of the trending things was like CM Punk buyout. And I was like, what's going on here? And then I realized it was Dave's story. Now, I'm a little, I guess I'm not surprised, because this happens in real sports all the time. You know, in the NBA, when it comes down to the end of the season, you know, teams will buy players out. You know, Russell Westbrook may get bought out this year because he's playing terribly for the Lakers. But ultimately, it's a way for Punk and AEW to shake hands on an agreement and say, okay, we don't need you. You don't need us. We'll come to some monetary agreement, 50 cents on the dollar, whatever it is, and we can go our separate ways. And the key is how soon until he would be able to show up in WWE, if that's what his goal was. Because that's what AEW is, that's what they are protecting against, is just him taking all of his, you know, all of the goodness that he did for their company, just going right into WWE and bashing them on that show and all that.
Do you know what I just did? Do you know what I just did right now? I just messaged someone over at WWE and I point blank asked them, can you tell me if you guys are interested in Punk, if he's free to come over? Would love an answer by 5 o'clock. Thanks.
There you go. So we have some breaking news here.
Well, maybe we might. Maybe we won't. Maybe they'll tell me to go F myself. I don't know. No, I think the Punk situation, I mean, most likely they will. The Punk situation is, you know, I Matt, my producer, just reminded me I did an entire segment on this. I totally forgot about it. But my point here was, you know, would he gets bought out, right? They buy his contract out or whatever. He's out for the next X amount of months. So how long of a non-compete will he have?
Yep.
Is it the extent of his injury? Is it going to be the extent of his contract? Because essentially, I'm assuming that's what they want to do, is buy him out for the remainder of the contract and have him sit at home till 2020, whatever.
Right.
But, you know, that those are very difficult to fight in court. People have lost, especially, you know, preventing someone from working or making more money. So I don't know if Punk wants to do that, but what are his opportunities to go anywhere in wrestling right now? You know, who could afford him? Obviously we know the answer. Mm-hmm. And would they want him?
Yeah.
We don't know that answer.
AEW could just ice him and pay him his money as his contract for as long as his contract goes.
Yeah. And also, and remember, he was hurt for a while.
Yeah, theoretically, he's got an injury that they could add time to if they wanted. I'm sure that is in the language of their contract. So for Punk, I think he will have to give up some of his leverage here in order for them to agree to do this, because the ball is like, all the leverage should kind of be in their hands because they have him under contract. And so he's going to have to give something up. And then the flip side is also going to WWE. And I don't know, what if he was like, yeah, let's call it halvesies and I'll sit out for a year, or, you know, I'll take less and you let me out earlier and I can show and I can sign a contract with WWE, you know, sooner than later. Like there's got to be balls bouncing back and forth in that way.
I'm sure
when it comes to this stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating thing, because now you're talking about leverage and negotiations and
non-disparagement agreements, all that stuff, right?
And how easy is Punk to negotiate with? How easy is Tony Khan to negotiate with? Are they both sharks in this negotiation? Remember, like back in the day, Brock Lesnar tried to get out of his WWE deal, and they were like, well, if you go play football, you're fine. But if you go do anything else, like we have you right.
To Japan.
And then they just,
but do you remember,
they figured it out,
and then they signed
to an agreement
him.
Later.
Then,
yeah.
And then they announced that he was in. Do you remember that weird WWE.com exclusive where Brock Lesnar and Sable are at the WWE headquarters, and then it went nowhere?
Yeah.
So I guess they thought they had him and they were going to, he was coming back, and whatever happened after that meeting kind of fell apart. I think for Punk's, you know, some may say he, you know, does he have more value now than he did when he first debuted? I think so. I think no matter where he goes, people are going to, I think for 100% for WWE. Yeah. I listen, it's a never say never business, right? Bret Hart has been MFing Goldberg for the last 22 years.
Yeah, is he trying to set up a match? What's going on here?
I mean, he's working an angle for sure. I don't know to what, but he's in WWE. He said the things he said about Shawn and Vince, you know, Ultimate Warrior is another one. The heinous things that he said. Hogan was another one. The list is endless, really.
Yeah.
There's really nobody that Vince wouldn't have brought back. And, you know, in knowing people that work with Hunter closely, he's a product of that philosophy, business first, personal issues second. I mean, what does that do to your business? What does that mean for business if you happen to grab a CM Punk, you know, after whatever, in a year from now? You know, what kind of value does that bring your brand? How would you want it? WWE is far more controlled of an environment than AEW is. There are many things put in place, and it's not a knock at AEW, just has to do with the maturity point of the company. One is a 3-year-old company, another one is a 50-year-old company or so. Mm-hmm. So you have things in place to prevent these things from happening. I'm also, you know, my whole point here is, you know, this guy at the last scrum he was at sat there and he cried that Tony Khan is in possession of his career with Ring of Honor. And that, thank God that someone like Tony Khan has the archives and has his career, because he'll do right by the archives, right? He'll do right by guys like Danielson and Claudio and Punk and whoever else was in the early days of Ring of Honor. I think everybody knows that it's safe in his hands. But to go from that to, you know, essentially sitting next to your boss, burying him publicly, essentially what you told everybody is that he is incompetent at managing the talent. The talent is incompetent. This entire company is incompetent. And he's the only one with good advice and the only one that has a good head on his shoulders. I mean, we saw how that played out, didn't we?
Yeah. Like, so,
I don't know, man.
Punk is straight edge. Obviously, he's very well known to. But when he was saying that, I in my mind, I was like, if it was somebody else, I would have thought, this guy have a couple of beers before he went on this thing, right?
He was
but
hot. Punk is, he looked the eyes, man. The eye. That's why I thought it was kind of a work at first. When I'm watching, I'm like, he's really like, what are you going to get out of this?
Yeah.
What are you getting out of it? I mean, the fact that we're still talking about it still says a lot, right? But I mean,
well, it's because AEW won't talk about it. That's why we don't have any answers.
Nobody. Yeah. AEW's not talking about it. I think at the end of the day, money's going to be a big driver of this. And if you're CM Punk and a WWE comes knocking and they throw, you know, 5 million, 6 million, I don't know, I'm throwing a number, you're going to have to think about it. You're in your 40s. This is the end. This is the end of your run. Do you want to leave the industry with this? WWE do a great job in making you forget anything bad happened over there.
Yeah.
Here's obviously, you want to end your career on a positive.
So we know how Punk left WWE, because in the now deleted podcast, he kind of told us the, you know, how it ended. And the idea was, wasn't it supposed to be him versus Triple H at WrestleMania or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we know that his relationship with Triple H was probably not fantastic. Him going back there, can they, I would imagine that Triple H is going to do whatever it takes to win over fans at this point, and that may be bringing in CM Punk. I don't know how much of the nice guy Punk stuff was really true in AEW. I'm sure some of it was, and I'm sure some people probably thought
it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm positive it was.
People who know him best, you know, probably was like, oh yeah, you know, this is only going to last for so long or something. But you know, the person I would love to ask is someone who probably knows him really well. If you could give him, and Bryan Danielson, he always generally tells the truth, so we wouldn't even have to give him truth serum. We just have to get him to talk. But I wonder what he thinks about this whole thing, because he knows, you know, him and Samoa Joe probably know Punk the best out of any talent about, you know, if they would have thought that this was going to be the end result or whatever. But anyway, I guess my question for you is, does Triple H just go, you know what, clean slate, we're bringing you back, you're a giant star, you're going to be in the mix, it's you and Roman, it's you and Cody? Or do you think Triple H is like, man, this guy caused me a lot of grief, this guy caused this company a lot of grief, do we really want to do business with this guy again?
If I was a betting man, which I'm not sometimes, and I end up losing, I would say that he's thinking, what is the best positioning for our brand? What is the worst positioning for AEW? How can we turn this around? You know, as far as the optics of there's that word, right?
There's that word. I love it.
The optics of, you know, the legacy of CM Punk. There's so much money to be made. And that's what it really comes down to. The merch, the toys, the video game, the Peacock special of him showing up wherever, however he shows up, the 24 in the life of, you know, and Fox wanted him. I mean, that is not a question. And USA, obviously, position that they would have loved to have him. There's nobody, as far as the networks go, they want him. They know that he is a draw. He did make money for this company. It was a great, you know, for WWE, they kind of saw that this guy is drawing, you know, and he can make money for the company. And there's not too many of those guys left in the business. And mm-hmm. he's someone that will not go back to AEW. I mean, if this is all happening, right? He's not going to go back there. He's on bad terms with them. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Do you think they would play hardball with Punk a little bit business-wise, just because, like you just said, if he's leaving AEW and he's getting bought out by AEW, there's no one to negotiate against. It's basically WWE or he's gone again. And so I wonder how
Impact?
Right. I wonder how hard they would negotiate with him when it came to that, just knowing that the competition is literally not there him to bargain up.
So here's the other side, right? If you're AEW and if you know, right, that WWE will take him after he's clear to go, after whatever agreement you do, how does that affect your negotiation in this? Do you start second guessing?
Yeah.
Do you try 100%. To put him on ice even longer? Do you get more aggressive with, you know, preventing him from going there? These are all things that are going to come into play. It's not this cut and dry decision, because this one decision will impact wrestling, no pun intended, for the next 5 years or so. I would 100%.
It won't impact Impact Wrestling, though. It'll impact wrestling.
It will not impact Impact Wrestling.
the whole thing's fascinating. I can't, like Dave mentioned last night on Wrestling Observer Radio, that he sort of feels like there's going to be an end to this story sooner than later, especially when it comes to the Elite.
They've looked in the crystal ball.
And so here, how would you, because Tony Khan specifically has not mentioned Kenny Omega or the Young Bucks on television, or his announcers haven't mentioned them barely, if at all. there's no record of them. There's an opportunity to bring these guys back in a pretty big way. But if you haven't told the fans why they were gone, it almost changes the how big it could be to return them. So do you have any thoughts about how you would want to see them come back? Like, do you want to see like this mystery, like kind of this weekly build, like, oh, the Elite is coming back, you know, let's build up the show? Or do you just like slot them back in and let's forget that the thing even happened?
I would slot them back in and have whoever their opponents are make a backhanded comment, you know, and kind of have them go into it that way. And they'll say something about, you know, defending the honor of AEW or whatever, whatever. Right. I can see them doing that. I don't necessarily think. I don't necessarily think they should sit there and do like a what happened here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see them doing that. I think it's more about getting them back on that roster, because you could tell, you know, watching Dynamite last week, which was a good Dynamite.
Mm hmm.
You know, their roster is lacking without Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega has not wrestled in how long?
Since, you know what I mean? Like,
forget about
he was
that
in a trios match,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was gone for how many months before that?
Yeah. So he's gone
He came back for 3-4 weeks and then he's gone again. And this is the guy that you essentially were building as your flagship when you started this company, and he's barely wrestled. In 2022, he wrestled 3 matches or whatever it was, 2 matches. So, listen, I think it's time to bring them back? Yeah, if you know, the investigation shows that, you know, they were in the clear or whatever it's going to show. Or at this point, you just say, hell with it. Listen, I got to make money. It may, you know, they were in the wrong too, but we got to think about the future of this company and everybody else involved. And sometimes you got to make a really bad decision. Whether that's keeping Punk, I don't know. I don't think it's keeping Punk, but you know, whatever that decision is, you got to think about the future of that company too.
Now, you mentioned that WWE, the way that they run their company is a little bit more iron-fisted than AEW. If you were Tony Khan and Kenny Omega comes back to TV and he kind of wants to cut this very emotional promo about what happened, do you tell him like, nope, we're beyond this, like, I don't even want a subtle reference, like, let's just move on? Or can you use this as business?
I would say you could use it as business if you were going to work it into something. Like Mike M in our chat, Tony should make money with the Punk and Elite War. Tony would want nothing more to make money with this and turn this around and have everybody be kumbaya and you know, and hug it out. But that is not the reality here. And, you know, sometimes it's beyond you as a businessman. It's more has to do with the lunatics that you're managing. And if, you know, Punk doesn't want to do business with them and doesn't want to work with them, and he's honestly, you know, he's stated what he thinks of all these people, now you have it. Or maybe he goes away for a couple of years and then maybe you could do something. I think it's such a lost opportunity for sure, but it's also reality, and not everything can be turned into an angle. You know, if Garrett punched me in the face, do I want to sit here and do a show with him next week? I don't know. Maybe. Did I deserve it? That's the big question.
I would never punch you in the face. I would slap my arm. I'd slap my arm and I'd make a sound and I would come about 10 inches from your face. That's how I would
do it. There you go. That's a good one. I'd take that. You could be a little snug.
All right. So I think, if Dave is, and who, no one has a better feeling on this stuff than Dave, so if it is coming soon that we'll, you know, we'll sort of see whatever the conclusion is to this, it's going to be great for AEW if these guys can come back, because like you said, it would be a nice needed energy boost to the roster here. And I'm just going to be happy to get it behind
Chicago. I can't wait till they're in Chicago and they start teasing the CM Punk return again with Paul Heyman, right?
Wait, that's what about when AEW is in Chicago the night before Thanksgiving?
AEW is in Chicago the night before Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they could release a podcast on Thanksgiving talking about everything that happened on CM Punk. That would be, I mean, that's full 180, right? We're back to where we started.
And now does Colt Cabana get moved back to the AEW roster?
I think Tony Khan should sit down with Colt Cabana and do that podcast.
Colt Cabana, one of the originals, man. He was one of the first. Okay. I didn't watch NXT. So I'm talking about the Halloween Havoc show. I tried to watch last week their regular show, and I was so bothered by the main event go home angle with Dragunov and Jordan McDonagh and Baby Steiner there. I was like, gosh, this did not make me want to watch the show. But from what I understand, the match was great. I would have stayed at Dave's to watch that show if I hadn't been all out with them the night before and then working to fix up the, you know, the video stuff that day. I just kind of peaced out and I was like, I need to go hang out with my family. But did you watch the show and did you enjoy the show?
Yeah, I enjoyed the first match. It was a fun match. The casket match was okay. And the main event was really good. I very much enjoyed the main event. Braun Breaker. I mean, this guy's going to be, obviously you could tell what they're doing with him. It's going to be a big, big star on that main roster.
Yeah. We've been kind of fantasy.
Just call him a Steiner.
Everyone else has got their name back. Nikki Cross gets her name back.
Very cool that a Steiner, okay, a Steiner was headlining a Halloween Havoc pay-per-view in 2022. Very cool.
Yeah, and I thought that was a fun little thing.
And it was not a Chamber of Horrors. They got to bring that back.
Imagine if it was Chamber of Horrors. That would be amazing.
You know what? Think of the Mattel playset.
Yeah.
You can sell that thing for $79.
Think of Abdullah the Butcher getting electrocuted with a helmet.
comes with a limited edition Abdullah the Butcher with an electrocution helmet. Fantastic.
So I know you have some information on how well the show did, because it seemed like, you know, my Twitter feed, everyone was watching it. All the folks who generally, because it was kind of like, if you're not a UFC fan, it was kind of an open weekend for US pro wrestling, and they were right smack dab in the middle.
Yeah, so they did pretty good. I spoke to someone there today, so I was trying to I haven't called anybody in a while, so I had some time today. But it seems like Halloween Havoc is their most viewed NXT PLE. That's a standalone, meaning since they went over the Peacock, meaning there was no main roster event that weekend. It performed. I believe the other ones, as far as I think it's In Your House 21, In Your House 22. There was another show. I forgot what that would have been. In Your House 21. So it's TakeOver In Your House 2021, TakeOver 37, which I don't know if they were standalone. War Games 21 also. So and Worlds Collide, even though that wasn't a standalone show, it beat out Worlds Collide as far as viewers go. So they did very well, and they're attributing this to the amount of promotion that they put on, you know, during Raw and during all the other shows. There was obviously additional promotion that was provided here, and it seemed like it was a positive, and the overall attitude towards NXT from the NBC Universal side has been far more positive over the last, I was told, 6 weeks, I think this has been going on since the Vince, you know, handover to Hunter. I think they're very much pleased with the direction that they're headed right now. Listen, those viewers are good on Tuesdays now. You know, to be in the sixes is really strong for them. I don't think people realize, you know, to be in a high six position for the viewership is a very strong number. It's healthy.
Do you like the show better? You know, they went back to the black and gold. It is still it's still all the new folks who are learning how to wrestle. So that part of it is not, we're not going back to, you know, all the indie stars coming in and already having like this big backing behind them. I still have a problem with a lot of stuff on that show. I didn't sense that it was that different from NXT 2.0, but again, I've been really distant from that show.
What
do you,
the show
do
in
you
general?
Like? Yeah, just the show in general. Do you like it better of late, or does it just feel like NXT 2.0 with black and gold colors?
I have liked certain elements better. Here's the thing about NXT for me. I never got into watching it weekly. Right. Until, you know, when they went to the network, I started having to, and then I fell off because it wasn't that great. But On the network, I would binge it. You know, I would watch like 3-4 weeks worth and I would catch up because it was an easier thing if I'm sitting in my office to sit there and watch, you know, all three shows or four shows that I was up to. It's been far more difficult since they've expanded in the hours and they're on the they're on. I did not really watch a lot of 2.0. Didn't do it for me. You know, I have been more curious about this show and I think it has been better. Is it that much better for me to have to tune in every single week to watch it? No, it hasn't done that for me yet. It hasn't tickled me to make it must-see TV on a Tuesday night for me. But I'm not saying it won't. What can they do? If they're going to be a developmental product, like they are right now, you're not going to really capture me as much because I don't have the hours in my day. But if there's something to watch, 100% I'm watching.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I wonder if, you know, they're keeping Bron Breakker down there because I wonder if he left. I wonder if that would move numbers downward or if there's just going to be a set audience no matter what.
I think that show has to have a set audience no matter what, because you don't want to fall under the same trap that you did with the previous NXT version, not 2.0, but the original NXT, where you have guys like Nakamura and you have guys like Balor and Kevin Owens, and you don't want to move over because you're afraid it's going to hurt the viewership on your main product. That should be a machine. You know, NXT should be a machine where you have somebody right in the next spot as soon as one leaves, which that's right. How it was for a while. And then they kind of, you know, slowed it down and you have, you know, Adam Cole there for like 4 years.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see what they do here. I know they are putting a show up against that, the ROH show in December, and ROH is going early. So Tony Khan does not want to go head to head with the UFC, but it looks like NXT is going to go head to head with the UFC there for that night.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how much that matters for their audience, but that is interesting too. Instead of going during the day to go head to head against ROH, they're just going the same day and going head to head with UFC.
What time is ROH going to be on?
I don't know. I saw it was earlier though. Like, I don't know how much earlier, but I think they want to avoid that UFC pay-per-view.
Yeah, they should. I mean, I wouldn't want to go against them, especially if you're, you know, because think about this, right? The viewership for NXT is not that, I'm sorry, for Ring of Honor, you're talking about what, 30,000 buys, 25,000 buys? That would be considered a good number. But if your pool gets dragged, you know, oh, it's a 4 p.m. Eastern.
It's a 1 o'clock for Pacific.
Yeah. So 1 p.m. Oh, man, I love these early pay-per-views. It's going to be great.
And then the WWE show, I'm guessing, will probably be 5 o'clock or something, right? 5 for me, 8 for you.
8 o'clock, yeah.
Interesting. All right, so let's talk about something. We'll have one specific topic. I've thoughts on one more thing that I wanted to talk to you about. It's a little general, but I was watching. I wasn't really watching it that closely, but Rampage was on Saturday when we were doing stuff, and I'm watching this show, thinking, how did they decide that the Acclaimed and Orange Cassidy were going to be the only two main eventers on a Friday Night Live Rampage that they had to sell tickets to? I was like, don't you put Moxley on there for an interview? Do you put MJF on there for an interview? What is the draw for that live audience? Because we were hearing a couple weeks ago that Tony Khan wanted to rebuild this show. You know, let's rebuild Rampage. Let's not make it feel like a B show. And so they go live on Friday, and it is absolutely 100% a B show. And so I had done a little poll in the Fight Game Media Facebook group, and I was just kind of interested because, like, we think of AEW, you and I specifically, because of how we watch and how we cover wrestling. We saw it as like a boon to the wrestling business, right? Like, oh, now WWE is competition. Like, this is a big deal. So I wanted to ask folks, you know, if their wrestling fandom increased, decreased, or stayed the same since AEW came aboard. So I kind of wanted to ask you that question, because what I realized because in the back of my head, I thought, yeah, you know, AEW being here increased my fandom. But what happened is, because I'm busy and you just mentioned how busy you are, it didn't increase my level of interest. What it did is it replaced other stuff. And what it replaced is New Japan. I was going to the New Japan shows. I was watching way more New Japan World. And all I've done is really just stop watching New Japan for the most part. I'll watch some of the bigger shows. Like I'll actually probably stay up and watch Wrestle Kingdom. But that's what AEW did, is it just basically took place of New Japan. And also, I was watching way more Raw and SmackDown live back then, and I don't really watch them live anymore. I watch them next day. So that also was part of it. But I think my wrestling interest is about the same, and it just replaced something that I was previously watching. So I was kind of interested in what you thought about that question. And then maybe if people in the chat want to chime in, has AEW, since they've debuted, has wrestling interest for you increased, decreased, or has it stayed the same?
I think overall, I think I'm in, like, to be honest, I think I'm in a wrestling slump right now, right? It's very easy for me to get emotionally disconnected when I don't like what I'm seeing, and then I could go away from it a little bit. Right now, I'm not going away from it a little bit, but I got to tell you, the whole CM Punk Elite stuff really turned me off. I think I've spoken about this a couple of times with you. Like, there were a couple moments in my life that I was really turned off. WCW closing turned me off for a while. It really, and it wasn't like I was the biggest WCW fan. It took a level of excitement out of it. Obviously, I brought this up numerous times. The Chris Benoit, you know, that entire...
You're not alone on that one.
I mean, from 2006, 2007, it really... Like, a lot of the deaths took me out of it. The Benoit thing really, I was so disgusted with wrestling. I didn't watch for a long time. By long time, I mean, like, you know, a year or two, you know?
Right.
Not like 10 years. but, you know, for a lifelong wrestling fan, someone that, you know, my whole life was around wrestling. My relationship with my father was heavily in wrestling and bodybuilding. You know, I have this very warm connection to professional wrestling because of all the happiness it's brought me in my life. So for me, like, the negative really bothers me because I look at wrestling as a happy thing to watch. It's my therapy almost.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but this situation has really, it's taken me out a little bit. Like, not that I'm not watching AEW because I have to watch wrestling because I'm doing it, but it just the feeling, it's kind of put this weird shadow over the whole thing for me. However, I got to say, during a pandemic, I was watching way more wrestling. And it was more on the AEW side. What else did we have? Yeah. So I was watching a lot of Raw, a lot of SmackDown. I don't necessarily watch Raw live. I would watch SmackDown, but now I'm watching everything as much as I can, you know, live or you know, an hour or two delay. But you hit the nail on the head. AEW not only replaced New Japan for me, it also replaced Ring of Honor for me, which, you know, it wasn't must-see TV, but you know what? I would attempt at least to watch some Impact, some Ring of Honor, watch the key matches, follow the story, you know, fast forward through just so I could keep up with everything. When AEW came in, guess what? Ring of Honor went away for me, but also the pandemic hurt Ring of Honor. Impact went away for me, but also the pandemic affected it. Yeah. New Japan also, but I think this is a little skewed in my, I guess, comparing it to AEW, but I would 100% say my viewership of NXT depleted astronomically because of AEW. That was the one that took a hit. Not really anything else, because the pandemic played a part in a lot of the other stuff. You know, they couldn't run the shows that they wanted to run. So I would say it was AEW hurt NXT more than it hurt WWE for me.
Now, here's a question. I think this is probably unanswerable, but I think the Punk and the Elite thing bothered us so much because of how closely we are to these scenarios because of what we do. If you were a fan who was 17 years old, and the closest we get to sort of inside wrestling news is maybe you're just an observer reader, right? Isn't there intrigue there just because you're not that close, but because we, you know, we are really close, it's almost like, oh gosh, this is just, why are we even screwing this whole thing up? We have this, you know, business. Why are we ruining business? But as a fan, you don't necessarily think about that. Yeah. And I wonder if this had happened in a time when we weren't as close to things, if we would be that frustrated by what happened.
If I was 17 years old, I'd be on the F4W board writing about how much I despise Garrett and F this guy with the eyebrows. That's next.
That's
to
why.
Him, all right.
That's why I don't. That's why I don't read the board, man.
Listen, it's part of the game. What are you going to do? I like the people. Listen, people like you, people don't like you. It's up to them. You can't do anything to change that, really.
Yeah. You can block them on Twitter. That's about it.
You can block them on Twitter. I don't even block them. Whatever. What are you going to do? Yell at me? Okay. It's wrestling, dude. I'm not talking about political. I'm not talking about Kanye West. I'm not talking about politics, you know? I would say, if you're 17 years old, how affected are you by this? I would definitely be upset. You know, think about it. If you're a fan of AEW and you're 17 years old, think about, great example. You grew up in the Attitude Era. I mean, so did I. I'm a little younger than you. But when you were 17 years old and you're seeing, you know, Red Hot Austin and Triple H and The Rock and all this is going on in WWE, and all of a sudden, guess what? They get into a big fight and now Hunter's gone. The Outlaws are gone. And Austin is out of the company. That's not going to affect your television. That's not going to affect you watching if that guy was your favorite guy. Of course. Think about how many favorites got kicked out, you know, are not on TV right now for AEW. So 100% it would affect a viewership.
Okay, but do you think it's
type of person?
Do you think it's real, or would you have thought it was a work at that point?
I think, I don't know. You know, everybody's so smart, and I'm using hand quotes here, right? Smartened up. Where I don't know what people think anymore. Other than that Twitter, you know, initial, like, oh, it's 100% of work. You guys are idiots. You're working for AEW, and that's why you're spreading this. Outside of that, the only information I would get is from, you know, like, I would see it on Observer. I would see it on Fightful or whatever, WrestleZone. I would probably believe that this is what happened. I'd probably say, wow, these guys, you know, and then I would have to pick a side.
Well, if I had access to the Observer, then you're reading what Dave writes, and you kind of, we take that as,
yeah, but
as
everybody's
fact.
Reading what Dave writes, because you know what, they copy and paste the Observer weekly on Thursday morning, so what difference does it make?
The only thing that I can relate it to is in the very early days of the internet, which was very bulletin board heavy, right? Like, is it like Prodigy or CompuServe or whatever it was, and they had boards and you would go and discuss wrestling. And in that environment, because of what I saw when I was in New York, where I was talking to that one guy and he swore it was a work, I think there are a lot of people who would think that it was a work if they didn't have Sean or Dave or Wade, you know, connection to them through their websites or whatever. I think if in a different air, in a different environment, into a different fan base, they might think that this is a work and this might be intriguing to them. But to us, because we know it's not, we're just like frustrated with the, you know, one step forward, two steps back.
No, because you know what? At the end of the day, even if it's a work, right? Let's say you truly believe it is. These guys are not on TV.
True.
So,
yeah, especially,
you know, what are you
going to
do? They're not. Yeah, they're your favorite guys and they're not on TV. You know, I don't know. To me, it has taken something out of me, you know, like with AEW, it has taken something out of me because I very much enjoy AEW, right? Very, I think we all know that.
Yep.
I like it because of the wrestling. I like it because it's a totally different thing. It's giving more options to people for watching. It's a very different product at times. You know, I've had a couple of conversations with Tony. I very much want him to succeed, much like I want to see WWE succeed as well. I don't want one to fail for the other one to do better. But when you see something like this happen, it definitely takes a lot out of it because you're the guys that you want to see wrestle, like a Kenny Omega. Obviously, he's one of my favorite wrestlers currently. How could he not be? A guy like Kenny Omega not being on TV for the time that he's been on, has been off TV, says something, right? Same thing with the Bucks. It says something. Moxley was off TV for a while. You know, we know why he went away, but that still hurts your product. So I can't imagine anybody being that dedicated to the work to hurt your ratings in a contract year. Yeah. You know, at one point they got to come back and you're going to hurt it. You know, you're going to purposely hurt your ratings by keeping them off TV for that long without a reason. You know, I'm hoping they come back. I'm hoping that this goes past it. But you know what sucks in all of this? We never got Punk Omega.
Mm-mm.
We never got Punk Danielson. There is a laundry list of these dream scenarios that we will never see now.
Yep.
And yep, that's absolutely terrible. That's the worst part in this, right? Because that's what people wanted to see. That was it for me.
Do you think there's any smarky fan who has been hitting up Tony Khan on Twitter going, why are Omega and the Young Bucks left in catering? Where are they? How come they're not on TV? You're putting them in catering.
I'm sure. I can't even. I don't want to see the DMs that he gets. I cannot imagine the tweets and the messages that man gets on a daily basis between the Jacksonville Jaguars fan base, the Fulham football team fan base, and the AEW fan base and the WWE fan base. This man is inundated with nonsense all day long. I can't imagine.
Yeah. If he wants to get you back, though, he's going to get you back with the ratio. That's how he's going to get you back.
He will. He will. He likes me now. I'm a good boy to him now. I'm not on the bad boy list. Apparently, someone told him that I don't hate AEW.
Well, he thought you were Chris Van Vliet, I think.
I was Chris Van Vliet for a while. What the hell? What am I, Ariel Helwani over here?
No, you're Andrew Zarian. You're Andrew effing Zarian, man. Come on. All right, we have only a couple minutes left here before Lance gets mad at us. But so, and this is not really on the topic, but you talk about your dad and his relationship to pro wrestling and obviously being a bodybuilder. Did your dad ever do any pro wrestling?
No, but he didn't, you know, he was an immigrant. He had no idea how to get into it. He would have.
Yeah.
My father, you know, my grandfather was... I would have loved to ask my grandfather because he knew a lot of those guys. He knew Bruno from working out. He knew a lot of the Northeastern guys because he was a big jacked up dude.
Yeah.
You know, if my grandfather ever would have done it, he probably would have gotten in sometime in the 50s or 60s. And I don't know if that was a reality, right? To enter that easily. But my dad, you know, my dad was a big bodybuilder, but he came here late. You know, he was back and forth as a child, but he was in this country in 78, 79, mm-hmm. like officially in the country. So, you know, at that point, he's 22 years old, I guess 22, 23. I think so. Something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. No, older than that. He was in his mid 20s. So I think the access to stuff like that was difficult, but I, you know what? My father's a very tough guy. You know, he slowed down in his old age, but he was a maniac. Like, my father was like a real deal jacked up maniac. So I think he would have fit in so perfectly in that era of professional wrestling.
Wait, so...
I mean, those wrestling stories where you hear, like, those crazy, crazy stories.
Yeah.
My father's told me the same exact story. You know,
so
like
how old was he when he had you?
My dad was 31 when he had me.
Okay. So when you're 10 or let's say you're 8 and you kind of understand, you know, your dad working out and stuff, like, did you ever see him do any of these insane, like, 3-hour lifting workouts? Like,
oh God, every Saturday, dude. It was every weekend because he would actually go to work and then come home and then go straight to the garage and just start aggressively screaming and working out because he hated his job. like he was like mother effing everybody at work. You know, I got to tell you, whenever I bench press, I'm mother effing everybody too. So I guess it spread to me. But no, he would do these like crazy, like Saturdays. The garage was open. The short shorts are short. He had his Camaro, his 79 SS in the driveway. He had a custom Camaro, white with red paint on the side with his initials on it. Very much, you know, living the Queen's dream, right? He would start, and he had like the bodybuilding posters on the wall. Like, he had all of them. Like, this was so common for my father to be in his tank top and shorts, just like aggressively screaming and working out. And then he would come in and he would go to my mother. He's like, Nadia. My mother's name is Nadia. Nadia, check this out. And he would shake his pecs. one by one. And we would get such a kick out of it. Like all the kids, like my cousins were like, ah, you know, my dad is jacked, you know.
Oh, that's a great story. All right, we have like 3 minutes left. We didn't even talk about Raw. We didn't talk about...
I got to bring him in one day.
Slam her. Oh, totally.
I'll bring him in the studio. Yeah, you know what? I'll have my father come in and he'll tell a crazy story somewhere.
Dude, heck yeah. I'm in. But we didn't talk about the Rhea Ripley slam heard around the world on Luke Gallows. We didn't hear about R-Truth. He got through the whole song. He got through the whole What's Up song on Raw. I was loving it. I liked it. He said lottie dottie, I like to party, and then he used karate in the next rhyme. Like I was like, man, I've never heard this song all the way through. That was fun.
Very meta, by the way.
Who?
Very meta with that reference he made, because right now there's a meme on TikTok and it's about every old school rap song.
And
they make fun of it. They think it's ridiculous. So they go lottie dottie, be la ba body. Every rap song is that to them. Like any rap song from the 80s is that to like the kids today. So it was very meta.
That's funny. And then there was the main event. Nikki Cross comes back. So she gets her name back. She's back. We got to see a lot of Johnny Gargano on this show, man.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of Johnny. We saw a lot of Miz. Miz has some secret that
Where's
is
Ciampa?
The reason. Well, Johnny Gargano said he was hurt. Miz said he hadn't seen him, as if he was like missing in action. And Gargano's like, no, I just texted him. He's injured. So Miz is going to have to tell whatever the secret is. That's the reason why Dexter Loomis is stalking him. I hope that he just gives the greatest reason and then Loomis is like, okay, good. That's fine with me. Now I'm leaving because, man, I do not like this Dexter Loomis stuff.
It is a weird roster, though, right? Raw is a very strange combination of talent.
Baron Corbin with John Layfield?
JBL.
Jesus,
wearing his European wide-cut Janko jean-style dress pants. I couldn't believe it. It has to be a rib, right? Somebody was messing with him because this man knows how to dress.
Yeah, I don't know.
He didn't put that on.
He's trying to bring him back, right? Because those were like
maybe
Vince's
he's trying to pull a Vince.
Suit.
Those are like
Vince's. Those are Vince's suits from back in the day.
The wider.
All right. We will get out of here. So Matt Men is on which day this week? Are we Fridays?
Matt Men's on Friday. Yeah, Friday. We've moved it to Fridays to see. Because all the news breaks on Thursday, right? Yeah. Like Thursday, all the news is out. So. We do the show, and by the time it's posted, it's an outdated show.
Yeah, totally. It
so
makes
we're
sense.
Moving it
makes
to Friday, so at least we have that Friday going into the weekend thing going.
And then for me, Fight Game Podcast with John LaRocca tomorrow night, and Dave and I hopefully on Friday.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Now that Dave has video, there may be something... Probably early 2023, right? Is that what we're thinking?
Oh, yes.
Or maybe later this year?
I thought you were going to ask if he was going to shake his pecs on the camera for a second.
Dude, you know what? I'm going to ask him. I would tip him. We'll start tipping. I want Dave in a Gold's Gym, like the spaghetti one.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I'm sure he's got it. He's got him.
Dude, his workout videos, that would sell?
Yeah. Yeah, it would. So what Andrew's alluding to is there might be a show down the line with the two of us and Dave, specifically about, you know, the history of wrestling. We're kind of getting that going, but that is, if I can get this video stuff done and we can kind of create a schedule, I got to go, if I can go live on Friday with him and everything sort of all ducks in the row, then we can focus on this other idea. So. Alrighty, that is going to be it from here. So for Andrew, I am Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.